Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the KE Report. I guess I should call it the KE Political Report. Although the first item that we're going to be talking about really has nothing to do with politics. We're going to be talking about the Silicon Valley Bank. Biggest bank failure. It was shut down by the FDIC. Biggest bank failure in the last 15 years. Is this a harbinger of things to come, or is this just perhaps not a harbinger of things to come? What do you think, Jimmy?
I think we've been slow walking into this very significant problem for quite a while.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing now is the results of crypto investments and, of course, an inverted bond yield, an inverted bond yield curve, where, you know, short-term bond rates are, you know, sky high, long-term rates are down. This is investment flows. And basically the Silicon Valley Bank, which I believe had a very large portfolio, it's the 15th largest bank in the United States, was shut down this afternoon or today by regulators, the FDIC. Basically, it's gone bankrupt. There was a massive run on the bank. Investors started pulling out money early because they were trying to raise, I think, about $2 billion in order to cover some problems. And that probably has balance sheet issues related to crypto investments.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, it's the largest bank failure since 2009, the financial crisis in 2008-2009. Let's see how the markets react to this. Well, the S&P was down 68 bucks. The Dow was down almost 500, 454. Yahoo Finance, their NASDAQ, is down 234.35, and the Russell is down 57.77. Remember, the Russell deals with the smaller companies that are publicly traded. Crude oil has dropped down to 76.41. I guess that's good for the energy industry, but I gotta tell you, this Silicon Valley Bank failure is not good news at all.
No, I think this is the beginning of it. So this is a Friday. The Dow has had a tough week anyway. For the week, it's down 4.2%. I would expect to see even more problems, as this failure will actually cause the likely failure of other investment institutions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And it's, you know, people are starting to scramble. We've seen a big downturn and expectations in the tech industry. You've seen a lot of layoffs. You've seen a lot of, questioning of the direction of where things have gone, because we've had this continual push. We had this drop for a period of time here a while ago because of the first inflation numbers. But there was an expectation that the higher rates that the Fed has placed on interest has potentially slowed inflation. But what we're seeing now is inflation is still like well over 4 points above Fed expectations. It's certainly not transitory, as they said 2 years ago. It's disastrous when it comes to personal income and wealth. And companies are, even though there's some positive information in the job market, that's actually negative for the Fed. They want that job market down. They want us to move into slower economic growth, and they want to, in order to get inflation down. So what you're going to see is investors all of a sudden start overreacting. And of course, with all these institutional and structural problems with crypto that we've seen over the last couple of months, you combine these all together, you could have a very serious, serious economic downturn.
Yeah, well, the deficit in February has grown to $262 billion. That's for the month in the month of February. That is,
yeah. Well, and when you start looking at the latest CBO, Congressional Budget Office assessments of what the Biden administration is presenting as a budget for this year, and the impact on the federal debt, we're looking at a $50 trillion debt by the end of this decade. $50 trillion debt. Think about that. That's just absolutely unsustainable.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. That's not a good thing. I want to kind of restructure the program anyway. I would like to specifically pick out what we think is going wrong in our country and then talk about those deals. Now, obviously, we've handled financial issues right now, and I'm not at all happy with the way the financial issues are going in America. I'm not at all unhappy with the way crime is growing in America. I'm not at all happy about the way homelessness is growing in America. I don't see how anybody can be happy with the Biden administration. I got to tell you, instead of getting better, Jimmy, things are getting worse.
Well, and it's interesting to see the reality. You know, we've had this massive expansion of illegal border crossings in the last 2 years. You know, 6 million illegal crossings that have been somewhat identified by Homeland Security, and we absolutely don't know how many more that are unaccounted for or tracked across. There was an argument back in 2016 to 2020, and the Democrats and progressives had said, hey, there's about, you know, maybe 11 million illegal immigrants. Well, we're talking about now 17 million at those numbers, but the real estimates from many research analysts had put it about 20 to 22 million. So we're approaching 30 million illegal immigrants. And, you know, some of them go to work. A lot of them go to work in an underground economy, which means you're not getting tax revenues from them. Right. A lot of them actually are dependent upon federal and state services, which is incredibly costly. So you combine that border problem with the crime problem that has just been exacerbated since the George Floyd, you know, craziness and the riots and Antifa riots over the summer of 2020. You combine that with the rising inflation, with the COVID lockdowns, the negative economic impact for COVID lockdowns, which appear to have had absolutely no real value to stop the spread of the disease.
No.
And then, of course, what we're seeing overseas. How can anybody say things are going well? I don't know. But the White House does.
Well,
and they continue
we've been
to
talking
brag
about
about
this. Yeah, we've been talking about this for a long time. We got about 2 minutes left in this particular segment. And I guess I can only say once more, I have never thought I would see this country in terms of social activities, economic activities, illegal activities. I never thought I would see this country in this bad a shape, Jimmy. How about you, bud? We've got a minute to wrap it up, by the way.
Yeah, so, you know, for the rest of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about exactly how the government has been influencing people through very sophisticated programs with cutouts to stop free speech, which silences the information that may not support government entities.
Yeah.
And, of course, had a big impact on the election. So, I think we need to talk about that in the next segment. We need to talk about what's happening with General Michael Flynn, who was the former director of DIA, who was Trump's national security advisor, who the FBI set up in order to get him out. The government set him up. He filed a $50 million lawsuit against the government.
And what I'd like you to think about during the break, Jim, is what are the odds of General Flynn getting that $50 million?
Yeah, you bet. We'll talk about that. And then let's wrap it up with the politics in the last segment.
That's a good idea. I'm not really sure. How can anybody be optimistic right now about what's going on in the country? It's something I just don't understand.
Put your head under a rock.
That's about all you can do at this point in time. You know, I'm starting to listen, now that I got my television back in my apartment, I'm starting to listen more and more to the news channels, and I'm getting a full spectrum. I'm getting very, very conservative and very, very, what I would have to say, liberal. Any way you cut it, things are looking bad, both for us and for them. Stick around. We're going to be right back.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
KER Politics, going to talk a little bit about censorship. It's getting to be more and more obvious on the part of the federal government, and we just kind of don't want to deal with that, but we all have to be aware of it. Jimmy, what do you know about all of that?
Yeah, so this week in congressional testimony, Matt Taibbi, reporter, a very well-known and previously well-respected reporter, and a more of liberal reporter, and certainly a traditional liberal reporter, yeah, did an extensive report and discussion with the House Oversight Committee on the weaponization of government of how involved the U.S. government was in sponsoring nonprofit organizations and other organizations to help censor information that they deemed misinformation that prior to the 2020 election and after the 2020 election, specifically related to the election and also related to how the government responded to COVID. In this testimony, he lays out damning evidence of federally funded efforts to silence free speech in America.
Well, you know, that's something that we're right around the corner from that happening, in my opinion, Jim. I think it's the only way. I think that maybe Chuck Schumer's comment about let me handle the news that the networks are putting out about what we're doing, it's the only way we're going to stop these problems, like what Tucker Carlson said at the beginning of this week. Pretty frightening, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, let me get into some of the specifics that he's outlined in review and analysis of the Twitter files. And oh, by the way, he has released the emails and the direct information from the Twitter files in order to prove these in his reporting. So the State Department for the State Department's Global Engagement Center, that is an organization that they set up. With that Global Engagement Center, they have funded nonprofits. One of those nonprofits is the Stanford Internet Observatory, the SIO. The SIO, Stanford, created prior to 2020 the Election Integrity Project. So what happened was, U.S. government officials spending U.S. dollars funded this group, EIP, through Stanford, through the Stanford Internet Observatory, and they were recommending censoring information prior to the 2020 election that they perceived or they wrote as election misinformation. Now, that was a wide variety of different issues, but primarily focused on influencing and shaping, stopping. They'd use some very, very specific tools to either stop a tweet or to censor it or to minimize where it would go or to actually give a warning sign for that type of information. Now, that was a very extensive project. Now, there's another group, Graphica, which is funded through the DOD, and NewsGuard. They were doing the same types of things. And then there's a large number of groups that are out there since the 2020 election that were involved in with government-funded projects to make recommendations to the tech companies in order to basically silence people's views and censor Americans. So what you're seeing is the government can't do it directly. They hired different organizations to do it, and then those organizations would recommend silencing different opposing views, and a vast majority of those views, or a very large percentage of those views, were actually conservative views that would question the government narrative. This is how you work towards tyranny.
Well, we're right around the corner from it, too, which really kind of scares me. What's going on right now is I don't want to say it's absolutely terrifying, but it's getting close to being that way. I mean, look how confused the country was this past week with Tucker Carlson's report that came out on Monday. And I want to say, I watched Carlson almost every day to see how this was going to shake out. And it looks like there will be no repercussions. It looks like nothing in that audio video, will be changed. And I mean, that's pretty scary, Jim.
Well, what you're seeing from the Democrats, from the actually government officials, numerous government officials, and what you're seeing for, including, you know, the Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, you're seeing requests to censor news. That is absolutely not allowed in our nation, in our Constitution. But let me get into some of the specifics of what happened with this group, EIP, the Election Integrity Project. So Renee Resta is actually former CIA, apparently. She's the tech manager or the research manager for technology for this group EIP. She was proud to say that she took that Twitter, Facebook, Google, and TikTok took action on 35% of the URLs that they flagged. Now remember, this group is being partially funded by the US State Department and the US government. So 35% of the websites that they deemed, with no oversight, that they deemed to be misinformation, that equated to 22 million tweets alone at Twitter.
Wow.
That's up to the 2020 vote. Now, how much can you shape an election by silencing opposition without allowing people to discuss and talk about probably Joe Biden's mistakes or his incompetence?
Yeah.
These are the types of things that they were silencing. I'll also say that, you know, so after the 2020 election, so remember, the Stanford Internet Observatory, the SSIO, built this EIP, the Election Integrity Project. After the 2020 election, they turned that into the Virality Project, and they recommended, they gave recommendations to censor information on COVID when people had true negative effects from vaccines.
Yeah, I read about that, sure. Very well known fact.
And they actually
right now
made recommendations to stop and censor true posts that would potentially create vaccine hesitancy.
Yeah.
Now, you want to know why people were actually tricked into taking medications when there was no dialogue? There was no medical health professionals in this decision process with these technologies. You wonder why, how did people just kind of fall into this trap and there was no questions? Because the government was involved with major funded organizations in order to censor and silence people's views. Now, this is information that's coming from Twitter alone. We do not have the details yet between what happened with TikTok or Google or Facebook or YouTube. And that will be...
Jimmy, you're going to have to give those details after the top of the hour news. You guys stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Back, top of the hour news. At least we didn't go to war in the last 5 minutes or so. Jimmy, got a question for you. Can you wrap up the last segment? We were talking again about government censorship, but I don't think we brought it to a proper close. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight some of the other organizations that were involved in this, working with the government, with the FBI, with CIA, with other agencies, with the State Department, with Department of Defense overall, with CISA, the Computer Infrastructure Security Agency. There's groups like the ABS. Aspen Institute, the Atlantic Councils, DRF Lab, New America, and of course I mentioned NewsGuard and Graphica, as well as what the Stanford, you know, the SIO, Stanford Internet Observatory. Well, these are U.S. funded groups that are silencing and recommending silencing to the tech companies, which puts a cutout between the official government offices and the tech companies. Although we will see, and we have seen with a lot of information that in fact the FBI was going directly to Twitter. They actually paid Twitter about $3.5 million in order to help them with censorship. And some of these things they were censoring were legitimate and clearly identifiable factual information. So this is a huge issue for our government and for individual freedom and choice. What Matt Taibbi has labeled this in his testimony this week is the censorship industrial complex. And you remember, you know, I mean, I'll call it the sick, you know, these are sick issues. Censorship industrial complex. And that's kind of a play off the military industrial complex. And I've been calling it the TIC, the technological industrial complex. We are slowly working towards slaves of tech masters and billionaires that influence the government and the government who pays those billionaires in order to do their bidding, to take away choice, to take away free speech, to take away honest debate. You cannot stop rumors and bad information. In fact, the First Amendment is specifically designed to protect about information you don't like or you don't agree with it. So this is, to me, probably the most important issue for our future of America. And of course, this is one major problem and has a lot of symptomatic problems out there that are a result of censorship, like what happened to General Michael Flynn, which I'd like to talk a little bit about in this segment as he files this $50 million lawsuit against the federal government for false prosecution.
Well, let me ask you a question about that, Jimmy. What are the odds of him winning that lawsuit, in your opinion?
So the lawsuit he's filed, he's been very specific on the accusations. There was a lot of things that he could, that the government, that his lawyers could have said to shape this lawsuit. But they were very careful and they constructed the lawsuit very specifically to identify the fact that the false prosecution was based on fraudulent information and government entities, including the FBI, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, they knew it. And basically it goes back to the information that most of us have heard about if it wasn't censored by the media. And so I truly believe that General Flynn has a very strong chance of winning this case because, and primarily because, he's taking the case outside of Washington, D.C. He's filing it in a district that is outside of Washington, D.C. And that is very helpful. If it was inside Washington, D.C., like his original case with Judge Emmett Sullivan presiding, he would have no chance of a fair trial. But that's a big part of the accusation of false prosecution, if you go into the details of the case.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It seems kind of interesting that we've gotten to the point where you have a respected military general who is suing the government and has a chance of actually winning the lawsuit. It's amazing that something like that is happening in our society, Jim. I just can't believe it.
What's so important is this gets publicly seen and that the government does pay a price. And here are the reasons why. You need to go back and remember what happened to General Flynn. So General Flynn was the director of DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency. Defense Intelligence Agency is much larger than the CIA. It's a big organization. Okay. I worked for it. I worked for Michael Flynn. He was the boss when I was still an attaché. And I knew Mike Flynn from many years ago when he was a major and I was a captain in special mission and special operations back then. He unbelievably talented, brilliant guy, very well respected. His problem was he did not massage intelligence to appease the Obama administration, and President Obama and his advisors did not like him for that, so they removed him from the job as director of DIA. And the reason why was he was identifying real problems and not shaping the intelligence in northern Iraq and Syria on ISIS that brought about ISIS.
Yeah.
And that offended the administration, so they fired him. He became the advisor to a number of actual Republican candidates for the campaign, but then eventually became the national security advisor for the Donald Trump campaign, and then as his appointed national security advisor in the White House. The FBI set him up, tried to say that he had a bad conversation with the Russian ambassador. It was a fully legitimate within his realm of responsibilities in the transition period to do it. They lied under oath, and that is proven through the Inspector General's report. And they continued to pursue him, and they convinced Mike Pence and the Trump administration, particularly the Vice President's office, to fire him because Mike Pence said he lied to him. When in fact, Mike Pence later said he didn't, but it was too late at that point. Then they prosecuted him for lying under oath. When in fact, in the notes, in the interview that they said he lied under oath for, they said he did not lie. They found no deception, as well as they gave him no representation, gave him no Miranda rights when they were interviewing him to try to set up a criminal action. All this information is documented through the FBI's Inspector General report. It's all documented in court to the point where the Department of Justice actually withdrew any charges against Mike Flynn. However, the judge, Emmett Sullivan, would not dismiss them and tried to put him, and this is over almost a four-year period, and tried to put him in jail in spite of the Department of Justice knowing there was no justification to go forward with a trial and no justification to charge him on anything. The judge said no, and it was finally Trump pardoned him. So all of this is documented. It was absolutely meticulously reported through numerous agencies. But once again, we go back to this censorship industrial complex, this sick, if you will. The media, a big percentage of America, still believes that he lied under oath and that he would, and basically defame this very, very respected war hero. I mean, he's a really, really well-respected guy in the intelligence community up to that point. He was honest. And he told it like it was. And unfortunately for the government, unfortunately for the nation, we had our intelligence agencies as well as our Federal Bureau of Investigation under James Comey doing whatever they could to take Mike Flynn, one of the most competent people on the Trump administration, taking him out of power in order to undermine this government, along with the entire Russian collusion narrative that we saw. So I'm wishing him well.
Yeah, of course you are. I mean, you know, what I don't understand is what we've seen in the last 4 years for sure is a government that's fragmented, a government that's not willing to work both sides of the aisle. And I have to say, I believe the liberals are the real instigators here. I mean, I know you can argue it either way, but when you look at what's going on with people like Mike Flynn, etc., etc., you realize that both sides of the aisle could not be farther apart. Stick around, we're coming back. KER politics, you know, we're going to kind of summarize some of the really unbelievable events that have gone on in the last 2, 3, 4 weeks in America, things that should not be going on in this country. We're going to talk about the total lack of confidence of the Chicago voters in their former mayor, Laura Lightfoot. I find it to be incredibly amazing that she did not really make it back into office. Jimmy, what do you think about that?
Well, I don't think it was that crazy because, you know, people saw what was happening. They actually were beginning to feel it directly on the streets of Chicago, violence, remember the massive attacks on stores on the Million Dollar Mile. You had hundreds of people come in and shoplift and just, you know, empty these stores out. You had shootings daily, lots on weekends. You're having, 10, 15, 20 people killed, children killed all over the place because of a lack of safety, lack of security. And of course the policies that were put in place by Lori Lightfoot that were supposed to be, and of course, Kim Fox, the prosecutor in Chicago, that were supposed to be lax and provide justice reform. And of course, people started feeling that, and of course, businesses were leaving as well. So that to me was pretty clear that she shouldn't have won, but she didn't even make, you know, the runoff election. So it'll be interesting because a moderate Democrat, former policeman, is running, and a very extreme progressive are the two leaders there. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in Chicago. One would kind of slow the damage. The other one would actually light it on fire, in my view.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, the other event that's occurred that I think is really crazy, and I hate to keep bringing up John Foster Dulles, but, you know, Attorney General John Foster Dulles is going to go down in history as being a good guy, an efficient guy, et cetera, et cetera. Let's talk about Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland is looking at the conservatives in terms of the hearings are making him look like an absolute fool, Jimmy.
Well, I think Merrick Garland has come out. I mean, the other day, it was absolutely disturbing to hear him say that five cops died on January 6, 2020. That was an out lie by the Attorney General of the United States.
Yeah.
It perpetuated the propaganda, the Democratic propaganda of an insurrection. What you saw was a very out of hand and irresponsible protest that went way too far on the Capitol in many respects, but it also showed the frustration with a very large segment of the population. I mean, literally, you know, hundreds of thousands of people showed up on that day for a protest because they did not trust the system. And silencing those people, doubling down and trying to turn it into an insurrection, I think was a calculation by Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic Party in order to undermine the Trump administration. It was very much a calculated effort. But they individual civil liberties and rights and actually using more law enforcement actions to undermine conservatives and conservative values specifically by using that justification. And that was absolutely, in my view, unacceptable to have an attorney general say something like that or to lie in front of the American public, as well as what he's done to individuals to arrest, you know, people outside of abortion clinics for protecting their son. And so many issues right now. It's just over and over again. I can't believe it.
Well, how about the you got the abortion clinics on the one hand. On the other hand, you've got the pro-life clinics. Even the pro-life clinics are getting to be had to experience violence outside their doors.
Oh, they're having way more. There's a tremendously large number of attacks on these pregnancy support organizations, as well as churches. And there's been very little effort by the Department of Justice to go against them. And of course, they did incredible overreach with Mr. Hout in the and you know, protecting his son and some of these other arrests that were high profile in order to intimidate people. And when you see the Department of Justice selectively enforcing law in order to intimidate people, you combine that with the government's efforts to censor individuals, you have a system that people will not trust. And the more there is discussion, and you know, they would like, many people listening would love to silence my discussion at this point right now.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm not so sure.
Say that again, Al. I'm sorry.
I'm not so sure.
Well, I believe there are definitely people that would be afraid to hear this and would be angry at it and would love to silence our program because it goes against their narrative.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, I don't like listening to some people. I cannot stand listening to Keith Olbermann and when Michael Moore. I just I listen to them and it's really difficult to accept them. But I will listen to them because I want to know what they're thinking. I don't want to shut them off. I certainly don't want to silence them. And unfortunately, I think we've gone too far with this effort to justify every censorship effort by calling it hate speech when it's not hate speech. It's just against what someone else thinks.
Well, I think it is developing into real serious hate speech in the sense that every conversation that I've been involved in, and admittedly, you know, I'm involved in the subject through our show, Jimmy, but every conversation that I get involved in, all dinner last night, for example, a retired artist and I were having dinner last night, and all she wanted to talk about is, what do you think about the political situation right now? What do you think about Trump? I think Trump is mentally ill, it was her point. So, I mean, that's all people want to talk about, Jimmy.
Well, again, you're gonna shape people's ideas and vision based on the information that's provided, right?
Yeah.
If you're only looking at the Seattle Times or local news or network news, that's all you'll ever know, because everything else is censored. Not everything else is, but you have to dig kind of deep to find other information. And from my perspective, that's absolutely what's wrong in America right now, and that's what's creating the hate. And it was an actually orchestrated effort by, I believe, starting back with the Clintons and how they managed information.
Yeah.
And it has evolved because technology has evolved, and the tech companies that gain a tremendous amount of resources by partnering with the government and have objectives to expand their markets want a government that will respond to their needs. They don't want a government that responds to the people's needs. That is contradictory to Mark Zuckerberg's ability to expand his role. And they basically want, I will call it tech slaves. You know, they want tech slaves, and they want us all just to buy what they say, and keep buying off Amazon. And
I would make one prediction, and that is, I think the next major election in 2024, I think, quite frankly, that it's going to make or break this country. My personal opinion, and I've stated this on the record, on the blog, my personal opinion is, I think you're going to have a fair amount of violence surrounding this particular election, particularly if Donald Trump is the a candidate.
Well, I think that's exactly what happened in 2020. You saw a tremendous amount of violence because Donald Trump was there, and the Democrats orchestrated Antifa and George Floyd and the media support.
Yeah, and they'll find, I mean, there'll be another judge. Go ahead.
But I will say this, Al. I want to say it, that there is hope. There are things. You know, Manchin is actually not allowing nominees from the Biden administration that are on the extreme. You're seeing some people that are stepping up and actually, in beginning to look back at faith.
Yeah.
And all the moral decrepit issues that we're seeing out there with this gender ideology, transgender pushing issues, that's beginning to affect middle America. They're saying, I don't want this with my children.
Yeah.
And that's where we're seeing pushback. It's going to be a long struggle, but we're seeing it. And I'm optimistic that there's enough people in America that still want things to be good, that have a moral background, that they're willing to fight for this nation.
Well, I felt that way for a long time. I just hope I can get that feeling back. It kind of gets old when any time I sit down with a group of people at this place, and all I have to do, all I have that they'll allow me to do is to defend our radio show.
Don't talk to me about politics.
I try not to, Jimmy. Jimmy, we got to go. It's 10 minutes. We'll be back next week, you guys.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.